Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, December 10th. That means it's just a little over 2 weeks till Christmas Day. My goodness, 2 weeks from today will be Christmas Eve already. My. Well, we're glad you're tuned in and listening today over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. And we are going to be looking in the scriptures again at Matthew chapter number 5. We're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount study series. All right. It is time to look back in the scriptures one more time. We're going to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. We began this message on Monday of this week. We will complete it on today's broadcast. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll pick up with a new message on the next two verses, verse 31 and 32, starting up on tomorrow's broadcast. But right now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30, we're dealing with the contrast of our Lord's message on morals. We talked about the adjustment of morals and the advice about our morals. We talked about the sense of the advice and the severity of it. Now, today's broadcast, we're going to start picking up on the fact that our Lord emphasizes eternity above time. He emphasizes the soul above the body, and he emphasizes purity above pleasure. We're going to be talking about that on today's program. So I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky.
If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll revisit the scripture we were looking at this morning. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 27, read down through verse 30. Matthew 5, 27. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Amen. There were some things when I got right with God and got serious with God about serving Him, God told me to put out of my life. There were some of those things that were collector's items. I could have saved them. I could have sold them. I could have used them somewhere down the road maybe to make some money or what, but I felt like that if there's wrong for me, it'd be wrong for the next fella. And if there's going to be a hindrance to me, it'd be a hindrance to somebody else. And the best thing to do was to junk it. Amen. So he's saying here, this is serious. Something else about it being serious, it's painful too.
Right.
Some severe pain. That's what he's saying. He's saying this sin's big enough that if it's a necessity to pull that eye out of its socket, this sin's serious enough that if it's a necessity, you cut that hand right off. Now think about it. He used specifically right eye, right hand. You see that in the text. He spoke about it specifically. Now, I don't believe that means that the left eye or the left hand wouldn't lead into the same sin. But what he is saying is this, that right eye and right hand might even be the dearest thing to you, but you'd be better off without it than going on in sin and dying and going to hell.
Right.
Amen. Our Lord talks about strong actions. He talks about severe actions. He talks about a separating action. Amen. Cut it off. Pluck it out. Throw it away. Amen. Amen. Now, after we've seen the sense of our Lord's advice and the severity of it, I want you to notice the smartness of it, if I can say it. It's sage's advice, really. It's good advice that our Lord gives. He says the last phrase of verse 29 and verse 30, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 30. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. The statement's duplicated. When somebody calls your name once, It's not as serious as when he called it twice. When our Lord makes the statement, he doubles it. Why? He doubles it because of its certainty. He doubles it because of its soundness. He doubles it because this is a wise statement that our Lord's making. Can I say to you, all our Lord's commandments are wise. Amen. All our Lord's commandments are wise, but this command is very wise. I want you to notice what he said. He said it is profitable. This commandment is profitable for thee. Who? Whosoever will. It's profitable for anybody. Now, here's where my thoughts went when I studied this. Our world says Christianity or religion is just a bunch of killjoys. They don't want us to have any fun. They don't want us to be able to live. They don't want us to be able to party and have a good time. They're just killjoys. In other words, they complain that religion, the scriptures, our Lord, takes all the pleasure out of life. Our Lord's telling me and you, he's not taking away anything that's good. He's taking away things that's going to cause us harm. And he's telling us that so that we will have good. Amen. He's telling us these truths that will bring us good things and will keep us from terrible things. I go back to what Brother Bell's preaching or teaching in Sunday school about the serpent. The serpent's going to let them know good and evil, but he's not going to tell them one good thing. He's just going to open the treasure chest of evil unto them. Can I tell you, this thing of sin does not have one good thing. Any sin you want to name does not have one good thing in it. Right. Not that it's not pleasurable for a season, but it's not a good thing. Amen. Stolen waters are sweet. It's what the adulterous woman says to the simple man. Stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her house is the way to hell. That's what the Bible says. Lust, when it is conceived, James said, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. Three important attitudes I want you to recognize or aspects about what our Lord says here, and I'll be done. I want you to notice three emphases our Lord makes by this statement, made twice. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I want you to notice our Lord emphasizes eternity above time. He says eternity is more important. Where you're going to spend eternity is more important than pleasure in this life. Amen. He expands this thing to say, listen, these Pharisees said this is just talking about adultery. Our Lord says this is talking about heaven and hell. This is talking about eternity. It's not just talking about time. Our world lives for time, but our Lord says eternity is more important. If you cut that hand off, it's going to hurt for a time, but it's not going to hurt for eternity. If you pluck that eye out, it's going to hurt for a time, but it's not going to hurt for eternity. Our Lord says, if you don't, it may hurt for eternity. Eternity is always more important than time. Secondly, he emphasizes the soul above the body. The soul is emphasized more than the body. Our Lord says it's more important not to lose your soul and be cast into hell than it is to have a whole body that enters into sin and then is cast into hell. Amen. So he says the soul is more important than any of the body or any part of the body, whether it's the right eye or the right hand. You know this scripture, Matthew chapter 16. If you want to turn, I'll turn over there. You can look at it. I know you know the scripture. Matthew 16, 26. Our Lord made this statement. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Our Lord emphasizes eternity over time. Our Lord emphasizes the soul more than the body. And our Lord emphasizes purity above pleasure. He emphasizes purity above pleasure. He gives this command to avoid immorality. He gives this command to avoid adultery. Amen. So purity is emphasized above pleasure. I really believe that holiness is the way to true happiness. There's a lot of people have pleasure and not happiness. There's a difference. And really there's a difference in happiness and joy. A lot of people have pleasure, but they don't have happiness because they got all kinds of fears and doubts. They just wonder when the phone's gonna ring. They just wonder when the shoe's gonna drop, as the old saying is. They're just wondering when the sirens are gonna sound, and they're caught in their sin. Holiness is the only way to true happiness. And if you put holiness first, then I believe you'll know true happiness. Amen. Most people don't view purity as being above pleasure. Turn to 2 Timothy. I'll show you what the Apostle Paul said. We'll look at one verse in 2 Timothy, one verse in 1 Timothy, and I'll quit. I'll give my conclusion. 2 Timothy. I'll go to 2 Timothy first. Chapter 3 and verse number 4. He's talking about these last days, perilous times coming, and what men's going to love and do and chase after. In verse number 4, he says these men are going to be traitors, heady, high-minded. Here's the phrase. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I don't know what it costs to go to a stock car race. I don't have any idea what it costs. Probably more than a seat sells for at the Island Ford Baptist Church. But people pay that price and flock to those races while we got chairs empty. I don't know what it costs to go to a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game. Again, I'll say probably more than a seat costs at the Island Ford Baptist Church. And yet we got empty seats and they'll pack the bleachers full. We got air conditioned. Sometimes it works better than we want it to and sometimes it don't work as good as we want it to. We got air conditioned. We got padded seats. We got carpet on the floor. They've got cement bleachers many times, stepping on, sitting on. Maybe it's wood, maybe it's metal. They got all kinds of things around them. It's not nearly as comfortable as what we've got. And yet people will pack those places out. Why? Because they love pleasure more than they love God. Amen. Some of those are not, by the way, some of those are not just drunks and avid supporters of the team. Maybe they're not. Some of those are church members. But they're not in church. They're at the game. Why is that? Because they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Paul saw it coming. And it's not a new thing. It's been that way for a while. We see it very evident. The average church, quote unquote church today, is an entertainment center. If it doesn't entertain, if it doesn't perform, if it doesn't produce some kind of excitement, people won't come. You know why? Because they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But here's what Paul said in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 5 and verse number 6. He's been talking about widows and taking care of widows indeed. But he says this in verse number 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. You know what he's saying? That's no life. That's no life. Our Lord emphasizes eternity above time. Our Lord emphasizes the soul more than the body. And our Lord emphasizes purity above pleasure. One more story and I'll conclude. I remember hearing a man tell this story, and I'm going to tell it as he told it. And trust, and hope. This is the truth. It's a good story. And if you know who said it, you'll know why I'm saying that. But, no doubt in my mind, it's a relevant story. A young lady in a school system was being mocked by other girls, girls on the cheerleading squad and girls, you know, in the crowd. Being mocked because they knew this young lady was a virgin. She had not done what they had done. She'd not slept around. They had made big boasts about what they had done with the football team and all these different things that they had done. And they were boasting of their abilities and their knowledge that's so far above her. And they had her weeping. And they said, she came back with this statement. She said, I can be what you are any day of the week. But you can never be what I am. Once you throw your purity in the dirt, you don't get it back. Once Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall, you can't put him back together again. Here's the conclusion, and I'll conclude our Lord's statements here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. Our Lord not only gives us some severe warnings concerning this deadly, dangerous, and damning sin of immorality, but He gives us some advice on how to get out of that sin, advice to keep us from that sin. And I want to ask you, how are you living? Are you living by the Lord's advice? Or are you living your own reconnaissance? Whatever you want to do, do it. Are you living like the rest of the world? Or are you living like the Bible says? Are you living like the Lord commands? And I ask the question, what are you allowing your mind to think on? And what are you allowing your eyes to look on? What are you living like in your dreams? I'm not just talking about dreaming in your sleep. Brother Ricky told me about a dream he had last night. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about in your dreams and aspirations. Amen. What are you living like? Are you living like the Bible would have you live? I want to ask this. Is there some things you need to get out of your life? Are there some things you need to distance yourself from, separate yourself from, so that you can honor the Lord and glorify Him? He's given us this advice not to make our life dull, to give us profitable advice. This is some good, sound, good advice that'll help you be a success for the glory of God. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. As they come with a song, we have invitation time. The Lord spoke to your heart. You need to come and do business with God. Whatever He says, that's what I do. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for the Word of God. I want to thank you again for the advice our Lord gave us. Lord, I pray, help us to heed it. Lord, this is advice for young men that are unmarried, and it's advice for other men that are married. It's advice for young ladies that are unmarried, but it's also advice for ladies that are married. Lord, help us to be careful. Help us to be careful how we present ourselves to others and what we might cause them to think or to see. Lord, I pray, help us that we might be careful what we think and what we see. Lord, help us to deal with it in a way to bring you glory. Lord, I pray, help our loved ones, many of them, that don't have the convictions, dear God, that we wish they did. They don't have the standards of dress and behavior and of separation that we wish they did. Lord, I pray, help and have your way in this invitation time according to thy will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we stand and sing, if the Lord spoke to you, would you obey the Lord?
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.